Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Monday stream. I hope you're all doing well out there, all you tiny GCHQ people in my computer.
Hemlo!
Hemlo.
Hemlo, our little glow-in-the-dark friends.
Hemlo. it's rather warm in the UK. It's not unbearably warm,
I don't know
honestly.
what you're on, but I'm frozen.
Oh, you're always cold, Evelyn.
I'm cold as ice, something like that.
Yeah, willing to sacrifice. Anyway, it's good. It's good to be back on this apparently dangerously hot day.
It is a dangerous day to be a Theakston's.
Is a dangerous day to be a decent pint,
But
yes.
I suppose we've got a lot to cover this evening, and we're probably going to go through it at quite a bit of a pace. You will not press F for Bunga Bunga Man, because you will press F for Uncle Ted, which is the first
Yes.
thing I was going to say. But of course, on top of that, thank you to all the folk that come to the streams and interact with them and talk in the chat and do the super chats and the super stickers, and sometimes donate to us via your PayPal, which is the kind of main direct source we have at the moment, because entropy and all the other things are a bit poo and don't want to
It's
work.
not great for UK stuff, I will
No.
say. So
And
we
we're
just have
already
that.
like paying a serious amount of what we make out of this stuff, which is a pittance and tax anyway, so.
Yeah, we get 30% and 30% again because I don't want to file US taxes. It's not worth it. But if you do want to donate via YouTube, we are still monetized on that somehow.
It's because we love the nation of Israel.
Yes, thank you, Melon, for the $2. Never forget. And yes, can we get some Fs in the chat, please, for Unky Ted?
Yes.
Poor, poor Unky Ted.
Anyway, I think we best start
Oh,
getting moving. Oh.
one more thing. I would also like to show the fact that
Oh.
we do have something this week on the Substack.
I as well should hopefully have something tomorrow, if you don't mind giving the quick thing I put up for the Nomos stuff a read.
Yes,
I just need a
yes.
second set of eyes on it to make sure. It
Yes.
won't be the most detailed, impactful speech you've ever read, but I do believe the proposition I'm putting forward is one that's rather important. And also, and something we kind of discussed here and there, you did a little thing on Brexit and the commercial side.
Yes.
Which is sort of interesting in and of its own, because it's something that really a lot of people haven't want to come to terms with. They still want to
No,
cope
there's
about
still a
it.
lot of cope about the former political projects of the populist right, let's say. There's a lot of cope that surrounds the Trump stuff. There's a lot of cope that still surrounds Brexit.
And there will be at some point a later thing on Brexit and sovereignty and whatnot, but all in good time. We shall
Yes,
get
but
on to what we're
there
doing.
is actually written content coming out though, guys. We
I see you.
promised, and here it is.
Previously, diametrically opposed movements to the right were constantly folded into it. Women's suffrage in the 1910s and 30s, totally integrated in World War I and World War II,
Yes, to the point it becomes a quote unquote settled issue.
which then became the opening for race-based stuff during the war, which then became civil rights in the 60s and 80s, and now, that whole cultural just sweep of what we can only refer to as negrolatry.
Yes. Every time this has happened, the right has become weaker to the point that every 20 years or so it becomes unrecognizable. The left moving left does not move the neutral position on its own. The new normal is actually codified by the right, as seen by Eisenhower embracing limited intervention in the post-World War II world, after the kind of staunch isolationism of the pre-war Republicans, and also Reagan's incorporation of civil rights as the cause of the right by creating federal MLK Day, as so aptly recognized by the essay we talked about by Samuel Francis.
I mean, it's a very simple thing, and I think it's something that people didn't quite realize when we first read that Francis essay. It's like, this isn't just about the fact that like MLK Day is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment because nowadays MLK is the civil rights hero of the right wing, and the left themselves have decided that actually MLK was a cis Christian X, Y, or Z from a period back when he would have hated gay people, so he's not progressive enough now. We've got to move on to the next thing.
Yes, and a big part of that is the fact that you have any movement in the position of the right are always portrayed as the belated admission that they were on the wrong side of history. A large part of it is them basically tacitly admitting by quote unquote conceding the point that they were never right in the first place. Yes.
How has the woke movement, and especially the trans movement, made supposedly conservative outlets defend and extol the Equality Act 2010, one of the centrepieces of the late Blair Brown government and a linchpin of how woke could exist in any legal sense in the first place, to the point that radical feminism that we'd have seen, you know, in the 90s as like, you know, Julie Bindle, you'd have just laughed at,
yeah,
is now this deep conservative thinker, and she's involved in the free speech movement, which, you know, deep down, someone like Julie Bindle does not give a shit about. Like, that whole idea is just so funny to me.
Yeah, there is the idea that, again, we're not going to try and comment and audit the beliefs of a lot of the people we're talking about here. Most of them are known. Most of these people are, at best, like radio for like liberal Democrats.
Mm.
And they are, at worst, like the actual howling misandrists that people are complaining about in the past. I've got a little bit of that because there's a one from like a, what was it, like one of the women's shelter pressure groups that just has some absolutely awful stuff on their website.
But and we don't need to, I think, re-emphasize this point too much because we've discussed it on the channel. I think this is one of the probably the few places where people have been genuinely receptive to the talking point of how many of these issues have been a distraction. So we're just going to quickly fire hose your eyeballs with like, I don't know what we got here, but half a dozen or so different sort of, you know, UK National Health Service banning puberty blockers, which we'll get into because yeah, that's not actually happened.
No, that's not really happened. There's been a deluge of quote-unquote anti-woke victories in the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
Really in the past year, we've seen a lot of this, as we've talked about the fact that the woke is being put away. This is one of the practical outgrowths that now the quote-unquote gender-critical movement is currently attempting some sort of victory dance in the defeat of the T part of LGBT, but also the woke agenda in general. And it's disastrous. It is one of the worst things that could have happened for the British right, because as we explained in the intro, all of this is them being folded into it. But we have so many links in, yeah, I'm just looking at them.
Next one is Daily Mail. The penny on the trans issue has dropped.
Yeah, Andrew Prince. Has the penny finally dropped on the trans issue? 17th of April, 2023. The leading Tories pounced on Keir Starmer's desperate attempt to deflect the accusation that he was incapable of defining a woman.
Here comes an even better one, though, from Telegraph. The cult of gender ideology is finally disintegrating.
These are mainly by kind of centre-left columnists who are put onto places like the Daily Mail, the Telegraph,
or people attached to like that weird like SDP group of people,
yes,
or like your Conservative Home, you know, essentially people who have been nobodies in newspapers that have been paid because they have some legacy position, really, and now they have some sort of use they can provide to the regime because they're able to totally stay within the remit of what's acceptable, whilst also like BTFOing the troons, which is what so much of this just seems to be about. Like the next one's Based Sunak, as tweeted out by the Free Speech Union. I believe,
well, as we're getting into this, all of this stuff is not a victory. It is in fact a crushing defeat of the most humiliating kind, and we will explain to you in torturous dark reality why that is.
Yeah, I mean we don't have this whole thing as a completely shut and closed case, but there's so much stuff linked to all of this. Remember as well the Free Speech Union here, of course, putting the victory banner out about this,
yes,
kind of stuff. Again,
Rishi Sunak has indicated he would challenge the law to protect single-sex spaces for women, saying biological sex is fundamentally important. Here's where the arbitration comes in. We're seeing a lot of this in all the different places that the agenda of the quote-unquote political right, the entire project of the political right, has become the protection of single-sex spaces in a civil rights sense and, quote-unquote, the safeguarding of women and girls as the mantra of kind of the modern post-Cameron mum's net feminist movement. We don't have time to explain to you in detail, if you're not immersed in it to a degree, the state, or the absolute state, really, of the quote-unquote UK feminist movement currently.
And at the same time, both in the UK and America, There's the obvious case of that shooting in the Christian school, that'd be about a month ago now. But at the same time, there's all these ones about like X, Y, or Z. I think that's just
grabbed the archive link for the article.
X, Y, or Z, well, paedophile now says they're a woman. X, Y, Z, murderer now says they're a woman, so they're in a woman's. And there must have been about 4 or 5 of these since the start of the year.
Yes, there have. In the UK, we're getting these stories. I've not actually put it up because the stories have disappeared behind the EU wall and they weren't archived. But if you just search like transgender kills father in America, there's wall-to-wall coverage of a lot of like domestic murders in which one party may or may not have identified as non-binary or something. There is a large amount of narrative in both British and American media mainstreaming all of this stuff and just the sheer amount of it.
I can tell as well that this stuff is being pushed because my mum, of all people, who is by no means like massively into any of this stuff, she almost sort of avoids it like a barge pole, has mentioned these stories specifically to me because she knows the issues I've had to try to get medical stuff sorted. And then all of a sudden she's reading stuff like, oh, here's this next, this, that, or the next paedophile or murderer who's now receiving all sorts of treatment in prison, or at least supposedly is what we're being told.
A lot of this stuff, if people are aware of the very slow nature of the NHS and the clogged nature of especially the gender care pathway in the wake of a lot of the essentially politicising and propagandising of the issue, is that this doesn't make sense. None of this really makes sense. It's obviously being done to annoy you, to infuriate you, because within a quote-unquote neutral system, this wouldn't take hold.
But yeah, we've got more examples. The inner sort of nonsense inside the whole Scottish Parliament, and then you've got an example here for, I think it was Scottish Labour. What more have we got here? I mean, this is one example I picked out. This is this Kathleen Stock woman who...
We'll quickly go through this. And right on cue, a senior Labour woman is forced to withdraw from a meeting about the Sex and Equality Act because of a complaint deemed it transphobic. Again, this is more of the stuff we're talking about, which has been happening today, about the debate about the 2010 Equality Act.
What way to cut the sort of civil rights conundrum here? Because what they've done is set up, probably with some sort of intention, a legislation sort of loophole that can really only be solved by arbitration.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of pretending going on in both, you know, both sides of the debate. Not that we really mean it in that sense, but to make it seem as if, you know, there is some reasoned way that they're going about this, and it isn't just about chopping and changing legislation as it sees fit to sort other things within the regime.
Well, it's just a huge push to try and make the Equality Act look quote-unquote based on gender issues.
Yes.
It's going to go from the, you know, terrible Equality Act that makes, you know, race arbitration a nightmare within all UK businesses to... ha ha, the Based Equality Act says that you're not a woman.
Mm.
And that's, again, this is the outgrowth. This is the practical impact of making trans activists and quote-unquote woke people so unpleasant, is you can posit what was previously the bleeding edge of your controversial agenda as a conservative point.
And we're actually going to get to a point in some of the articles later in different cases where they actually say this.
Yes, they actually just keep saying this, but from the opposite direction.
I mean, the other side of the coin as well is that there is so much of this that is so blatantly astroturfed.
Yes.
And this is one I just picked out the other week. All of a sudden, I'd never heard of this woman, but next minute she's on LBC, Times Radio, Talk TV, Channel 4. She's in a documentary here. She's in GB, but, you know, good GB News,
Good Morning Britain. Yeah.
Talk TV with Julie Hartley Brewer. She's been speaking at the Oxford Union and was, of course, disrupted by some unruly trans activists, which seems to have happened to about, I don't know, about half a dozen of these people in the last month, who, you know, it would almost seem to me like part of your budget for, you know, managing someone who is a TERF, as like a media mogul person, you'd be like, oh yeah, we need to set aside 1500 quid to play some loony to come in during your talk, because otherwise no one would hear about it if they didn't disrupt you or cancel you.
Well, it's... I hate to say the G word, but this is very reminiscent of what happened during the heady days of Gamergate, but in a weird position where the same people are now cheering on the same feminists. It is, as I put here, new gender celebrities, same old professional
Yes, I
victims.
thought it was a very good way of framing it, actually.
And that's what this is. Whether you like it or not, someone like Malia Yiannopoulos became a right-wing professional victim. That is all he was, and that's why he didn't accomplish anything. That, and he sniffed a load of people's money up his nose, which is what we keep telling people. He wasn't someone who was disappeared by the establishment. He completely shat the
Well,
bed.
look at all those people, Laura Loomers, Nick Fuentes originally. All of these people were basically an outgrowth of sort of 2015 to 2017 media management to make sure there was a subset of personalities around the Trump sphere. And now there is this woke going away sort of move. We have all these new personalities being cooked up to make all this stuff work.
Kathleen Stock, Maya Forrester, Posey Parker, Caroline
Julie
Farrell,
Bindle, yeah.
Julie
All
Bindle
these.
getting heated up from the freezer of the sex wars in the
That
80s.
one in New Zealand that got attacked. Another one in France
That was
today that
Posey
got
Parker
attacked, yeah.
again.
And then we have here
Well, this
the.
is the one you were talking about. Trans
Yes.
activist who disrupted Kathleen Stock's daughter of 4-day workweek council boss. It's very important to realize that a lot of what you see on the news, especially when it comes to a lot of this gender critical stuff, is two classes of professional activists constantly both suing and performatively disrupting each other.
All whilst at the same time acting as a massive consent manufacturing operation.
It's also just a massive money grift.
Well, not that there's that to it there, but as you well know, it's something we try to avoid is just always looking at the money aspect of it because that's sometimes one of the strongest distractions that there is from this stuff.
Yes, but it's a powerful motivator. It's how they manage to have like a factory floor of
Sorry,
these people.
I'm longingly staring at the distance because I can hear the rain and I'm getting a bit of cool air. It's quite nice.
Can smell the rain here. But that's a very, very big point that you must remember that I went through my permissible activism thing, that these are two groups of professional activists, one of which are 1970s style professional political lesbian misandrist femme, that like the actual bra burners. And on the other, you've got posited as the boo, the heel side,
Yes.
is the trans
I mean,
activists.
there's another one here from Twitter that I just found funny from fucking Unheard. If Mizzy can get on Newsnight, why can't Maya Forrester or Kelly J. Keene?
I don't even know who that last one is.
That's the other woman that was doing the. This is, of course, written by the Doc Stock woman.
Kathleen Stark.
Who's working with Kelly J. Keene to do the gender wars thing on channel? Ah, it's all pish.
Project Lesbian, Unheard.
But as we all know, and I think people should be well aware of by now, Unheard, post-millennial, post-liberal, all of these sites are dominated by these weird TERF women. It seems to be one of the main groups that writes for all of these
Yes,
things.
you will find Spiked Online, a lot of that, The Spectator, the Daily Mail and the Telegraph especially.
Well, I'm just thinking Unheard because it's a new one. It's meant to be trendy. It's very heavily pushed by Twitter. Oh, big lightning.
Yes, the alt media stuff, especially in kind of UK bent stuff, is saturated, inundated with
I mean,
all of the
I think you've got about
gender critical
half
narrative.
a dozen here to show for this, don't you?
Well, there's so many here. Here's Unheard's entire feminism vertical. Women are pawns in the
J.K.
contraception war.
Rowling,
The battle over
why should
breastfeeding.
lesbians sleep with men by Kathleen Stock?
I was hounded out of Oxfam. The Oxfam kids are all right. Why should lesbians sleep with men? The
God.
facial attractiveness of Victor Ben. How women colorized yoga. Why is this in Unheard? Did City Uni censor my gender research?
Don't worry, we'll get to that one in a moment.
Is trans the new anorexia? What? All of these. This is supposed to be one of the premier kind of dissident outlets, and
Becoming a woman is an unappealing business.
all they're
Bruh.
doing is continuously amplifying these mediocre 90s, maybe 70s to 90s style feminists who are writing these tepid think pieces about how they are a woman and women's rights. And that is what passes
Yeah, I
for
see. Someone
dissident journalism now.
asking the AA question. Who is Unheard for?
GCHQ, I believe.
Yes. But yeah, I was gonna say you've got there's
The
another
SNP
Unheard
wants
one, yeah.
silence. Women, there's so much here. Wait a minute, wait a minute. What we need is some background noise here. There we go. I believe that's now working. Just look at it. Look at it.
As Osby. A women won't weeshed.
Yeah, the Daily Wire.
Garbage.
Radical feminists won't stop speaking out against harm transgender policies due to women's rights.
Who wrote this one?
This was written by Charlotte Pence Bond. Oh my, I bet she went to a very expensive school for Unheard, Daily Mail, Maureen Callaghan. How hateful, smug and sanctimonious trans swimmer Leah Thomas is now telling women what feminism is.
But if I'm right in saying all the ones you picked here as well are basically all from the last 6 months. I mean,
there is no free speech in Britain for gender critical feminists.
The idea that they're throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks doesn't even begin to like cover it.
This is from December 2020. Three cheers for Turf Ireland in 2022. Britain's gender-critical feminist squad won some stunning victories against trans ideology.
This is where I think I put a note in it about the
GB News
Twitter post GB going News. Around.
GB News.
Oh, GB no. News. Get it off. Get it off.
It's just everywhere. There's so much of it.
I was going to say there was a one going around on Twitter a couple of weeks ago where they were like, the UK is the online hub for transphobia, and like folk were like, haha, get it up you, like celebrating on Twitter. And I'm kind of like, well, is that really what you want to be proud of? Is that you've got a nation of people who are, at least ostensibly, as we are told, obsessed with this stuff?
Yes.
How in any way, shape, or form is that good, either positive or negative?
All
I do
of
not
this
know.
Stuff should terrify you, because the entire dialectic has been around wokeness and especially trans issues. Now the wokeness and the trans issues are being put away, and the radical feminists are being credited with conservative victories and being fully folded into the pantheon of conservative belief. This is how the ratchet turns, not from the left, but from the right.
Yeah, I think you've got a couple more spiked ones here as well, and then a couple of bits about Posey Parker as well, obviously being very obviously astroturfed. And there's chief pathetic man in charge, Matt Walsh, who just, like, anytime there's a video or picture of him that's not directly on his face, just looks like an incredibly weedy man to me.
He does. He does look rather weedy. But the... I did want to mention quickly
he
Matt Walsh.
He also thinks
that
Ayla Miles are totally real.
Yes,
Matt Sorry Walsh... to beat you to the punch there.
Yeah, Matt Walsh is like full Bluebeam priest in residence right now, telling you that if you don't believe in the aliens, that you've been brainwashed.
Well, his next film's going to be What is an Extraterrestrial?
Well, I wanted to talk about the what is a woman thing and the define woman thing, because it's become such a talking point and it's such a nonsense. It's like the elite have said that the sky's green, and now you're spending like every waking moment creating documentaries about the fact that the sky is in fact blue and sometimes grey when it's cloudy.
Yeah.
But that's all they need to do. If you are like a lot of the kind of low hanging fruit leftists do, like they go after the flat earth people. It's like going after flat earth people. You don't actually accomplish anything because you've been drawn into the insanity. To engage in this dialectic is to lose. You can probably hear some very, very ambient.
Yes, it probably sounds like we're currently coming from the middle of the jungle in Da Nang. But there was the whole nonsense as well last week that Matt Walsh is going to upload What is a Woman to Twitter, and Elon said it would be okay, but then they had some rogue staff members that made sure it got suppressed. It's like, oh God, shut up.
Well, this is, again, spiked, because I could just do this whole thing with spiked and fucking Brendan O'Neill. And...
All we need here is the subtitle, according to Hope Not Hate. There you go. We've already been over the fact that Hope Not Hate at this point now is a tired operation that is being rolled up, and if anything, is being used for purely, like, heel energy.
Thank you for the $5 there, Paul Moosefoot, saying, I saw a WNBA ad in Las Vegas, and it read, the only problem with the WNBA that you're not watching is that you're not watching. Women, it's never their fault. Ah, yes. Very, Supreme Emperor Kizza, thank you for the £5 there. I have a cure for all this cancer. I call it the Doom Guy policy. Rip and tear. Ah, yes.
You go ahead and do that, mate.
Yeah, have fun being Doom Guy. I'm sure that'll all work out fine.
But yeah, you've got another spectator one here about...
Oh, well, this is...
Is there more of this one you want to go through?
Oh, no, I've moved on now. This is the Posey Parker stuff.
Yeah.
Because really, Posey Parker has basically become like feminist Milo Yiannopoulos. It's the exact same tired stuff of going around universities and go, look at the tolerant left.
Does that mean she likes black women and was a pawn shop for like opiates or something instead of...
I have no idea. But again, this has been... If you move in these circles, this once again has been saturation level. And it's kind of funny spite going, is it now far right to be a feminist? According to Hope Not. Hey, again, standing up for women's right makes you a dangerous extremist. But again, it's not... The entire point here isn't to smear the quote-unquote gender-critical people. It's to push the idea that they are part of the right.
Yes.
To the right themselves. Therefore, they become diluted by 1970s radical feminists.
Or at the very least, these people are your allies in the combating the left. And here he is, Brendan O'Neill.
In The Spectator, the shameful persecution of Posey Parker in New Zealand.
How's about we shamed you and persecuted you for being a nonce? How's about that, Brendan O'Neill?
Right, but the problem with Brendan O'Neill is he gets so much funding for so many different places.
I wonder why. I wonder if it's maybe because he enjoys certain things to do with children.
Well, he certainly enjoys certain things to do with Pfizer.
You got that Pfizer wiggle.
He got the Pfizer wiggle. No, he did get the Pfizer sponsorship on the content though, basically. But
God.
Here's kind of my last one, because this brings us towards some of the framing we'll have later on, but you want to go over another quick one, which again doesn't really make a massive amount of sense. But anyway, anti-trans bathroom sign removed from Dundee train station. Anti-trans sticker designed to look like official signage has been removed from the Dundee train station, blah, blah, blah. But the big thing is that it mentions the Equality Act and the provision of single-sex services. It's something that Posey Parker's group denied doing, but it's interesting that even at this stage, back in 2019, that the Equality Act was already being invoked by those who kind of identify as gender critical, as it were. That this is still a large part of the pantheon of the civil rights feminists.
Yes.
Is that the Equality Act will save them, because the government will step in. And it will answer the what is a woman question, because people cannot be left to answer that themselves. Again, we'll get into the implications of that slightly later on, but once again, if you understand anything, that should worry you.
I mean, this is another quick one here. We'll not go through this entire thread, but this is a woman, Caroline Farrell, who, again, I hadn't heard of until last week. And all of a sudden, this thread was everywhere on Twitter, and everyone was saying, oh, this is horrible. And what it appears to be, at least as far as I can tell, is she's gone after some weirdo called Stephanie Hayden on Twitter and may or may have not said things that may or may not constitute transphobia, mischief, whatever nonsense it is. But in this thread, she's suggesting that the local police that the case is being handled under have taken devices away from her, have said that, you know, she needs permission if she wants to own more than one SIM card. All these sort of measures that you would expect to be applied to paedophiles and terrorists, generally, like massive, massive connections between, say, you know, a miscommunication act and a terrorism act, to show that you as an individual can be sort of almost legally by a court declared no longer allowed to go near a computer.
Yeah.
And this, you know, very, very rarely does the UK government ever do this, even with people who are, you know, serial paedophiles or terrorists or anything like that. Meanwhile, this woman that said some nasty stuff supposedly on Twitter is receiving these kind of court orders, which to me makes no sense, and there's only two explanations for this. She's either completely talking at her arse, or this is a massive overreach by that police force and a deliberate one, knowing fair well that they'll have to roll it back, and what they can do when they roll it back is put their hands up and say, it was the activists that did it. It was the activists that made us do it.
The problem is that Stephanie Hayden's somebody who's appeared in all like the trans stupid stuff for a long time. There's somebody who tried to become a media personality, kind of failed, and then got into these endless lawsuit slap fights with these generally Catholic, I think, activist women. Mm. And the problem is this becomes an activist storm of claim and counterclaim. in which people talk about their lawsuits in a way that, like, they are life and death instances. It's
Yes.
another kind of example of these spiraling activist counter activist lawsuit, harassment claim, counter harassment claim.
I find this weird as well. She's like, oh, yeah, I've been advised that posting the thread about what the police are doing to me is a bad idea, which of course it is, that goes without saying. But she's then made a tweet about how it's bad, but then left it up anyway, and then goes on to some ramble about Jesus and Christ and this and the next thing. It's like, well, anyone who was actually worried about what would happen to them in an ensuing trial would not tweet about it like this, at least
No.
to me.
The whole thing about, like, following Christ's example of being falsely accused is also not something like a normal Christian would say, because that's for the most people that's eye rolling. But if you're really, really into Jesus, that's also, like, borderline blasphemy.
And in the same sense as well, she's got a sort of a bit of our own personal crusade against councils, how they're underfunded and there isn't enough provision, which we know from reading all the New Britain stuff is part and parcel of this whole empowering local councils. And I would imagine that part of your minimum infrastructure guarantee, part of whatever they do with the new Equality Act, will probably be things like written guarantees for disability support.
Well, the reason we wanted to win in is that a lot of these people come with activist baggage. A large problem with trying to integrate even a movement that is somewhat compatible with yours into yours is the general baggage a lot of these scenes come with. And there's a huge amount of that with, the radical feminists of yesteryear. There's a huge amount of, like I said, mum's nets, just general fussing. They would not agree with you about things like the lockdowns. They certainly wouldn't agree with you, as we'll see, on a lot of the stuff to do with, immigration, race. These people are single issue, and outside of that single issue, they are still exactly the same as they were 5 years ago.
I mean, there's a whole thing about Democracy 3.0 we're going to go into in a minute. But the last thing about that Caroline Farrell woman is she also does weird tweets about her two sons who are supposedly very heavily autistic and sits there and whinges about the fact that the local council thinks they're doing too well in schools to put them in special needs schools where they would be treated like retards. And she's very annoyed about this, which all seems very wrong to me. But anyway, what I've noticed at the same time is there are all these what I will call quote unquote emergent legal cases coming up. And this is one of like the most self-fulfilling ones I think you could find. Some woman that's come to the UK with her two kids, who's I believe is a single mother, of course, to do a post PhD course studying the gender wars, gets upended from our course and cancelled. Now, of course, who were the first people to back this? Free speech union, right off the bat. And if we could go through and read this, because there's essay after essay she's basically written in here as updates, but the end of the story is protect women's spaces, protect women's single sex rights, protect this, that, and the next thing, the Equality Act, i.e., not right-wing causes.
The problem is, again, this is being pushed into all of our spaces. If you believe this is why we tell you that asking for free speech doesn't matter, because
No.
this is what they will fill your space up with. This is the free speech that will be given in left-based free speech society. It will be endless arbitration about what the Equality Act means and backing up feminists from attack from other activists. And that's what it's been already been turned into. You will see this shared by people who are otherwise considered, like, weird.
Lawrence Fox and Toby Young. And all these people who we are supposed to see as somewhat akin to our allies will share this crap. I mean, here's another one. Civil servant blew the whistle on political activism, wins £100,000 in a settlement. Of course, that settlement is based on emotional damage she has received throughout the process of being a whistleblower, which has its own therapeutic
Well, there's
angle.
also the fact that she effectively the civil service paid her 100 grand to fuck off.
Yes, this is also the
They admitted
case.
no fault as well.
Well, there's a bit I've quoted here from the article. I've got it
Again,
in
all of
there.
this makes news. There's a huge amount of effort and time put into this. These are not victories. These largely are wastes of time.
See, there's a paragraph at some point in this as well. I want you to go back to that one because there's a couple of bits I
All
want
right.
to pick out of it, if that's all
Sorry.
right. She is after posting her concerns on the intranet, internally with
Yeah.
her role within the civil service. She faced a backlash from some colleagues. It felt a lot like gaslighting, she says. Comments saying that you're taking things out of context, you're being politically partial. That was quite disturbing to me because it's just like, this isn't fair. I didn't bring this stuff in. I'm telling you that this is not neutral at all. That woman did not write that bloody line.
No.
Someone somewhere who is involved in like policy exchange level, like think tank stuff, has got that in there.
Yeah.
That's too...
That's wrangling about... It. Those of you who don't know, there's a very big like fake hoodoo about the British civil service being neutral.
Yes.
In fact, it's one of the best tricks they can do, as we keep talking about. The most powerful person is he who sets the neutral position.
Yeah.
And also he sets the exception to the neutral position. But the definition of what is neutral, normal, and value-free is actually the most powerful political definition.
Yeah.
Because it shows you what is out of reach.
Another point as well. The article attempts to portray the civil service as complacently allowing woke activists to do as they pleased. This just isn't true. They were welcomed in by their superiors. The propaganda we've seen over the last 5 years has shown this. And if you go right to the bottom of the article, who do you think is mentioned? Toby Young, director of the Free Speech Union, who of course supported the case. Anna's case shows how little tolerance there is in the civil service.
Well, again, this is peak boxcar door haggling. Anyone who is involved with the UK civil service knows that it's an entity that has its own life to it.
Yes.
You cannot damage it through civil legislation. It is one of the most powerful institutions in Britain because it has a permanent presence no matter who is quote-unquote in power.
And
this gives people also a very false sense of comfort about it, that they can slap it back into line by telling it not to be quite so woke, which is, again, a complete delusion.
And we're looking at some of this stuff as well on Twitter. I happened to run into this website, which appears just to be what I first thought as an aggregator, but is actually more aiming itself at being like some sort of pioneering NGO for NGOs.
It's
like you go to them with your campaign and your civil rights case for why this, that, and the next tranny has besmirched some local institution or whatever it is. And they'll help you share it. They'll make sure it gets to the people at the Free Speech Union, is basically what they're doing at the end of the day. And we could read through more of this, and I can't be arsed, because basically what they're saying is, democracy is great, but what if everything was more democratic because we forced people to engage with the internet just constantly? Well, that seems to be almost exactly what they're talking about. And this website was set up by one Andrew Hawkins, who set up the polling firm ComRes, and was basically elevated to the position of being an arch technocrat in about 1997, with obviously Blair's rise and the push for sort of polling intensive pressure group politics, which in a little memorandum I was reading about him himself the other day, he admits to. He's like, well, Tony Blair was concerned about what the stakeholders had to say, and so was I.
Well, this is basically like, it's like GoFundMe for gender critical / culture war stuff.
Yes.
But very, very bent toward the gender critical stuff. It is very much a professional victim engine. This is, you know, really the other side of the coin of I'm an unhoused trans person, I need money.
Yeah.
It's very much that vibe, but it also helps aggregate some of what is considered the slice, the sphere, kind of the world that all of these cases inhabit, and the narrative that's being put forward of the, you know, the heroics of the gender critical movement. It's quite a snappy little wrapper to it, because it really shows where the headspace is. You know, democracy 3.0, digital activism.
It's all very grassroots, it's all populist, and that's what so much of this stuff also carries with it. It's people power, it's populism, it's local activism. All of this carries this framing, and it's throughout all of it.
Well, it's the toxic combination is that, the 1-2 punch of that bundled with it being, you know, the gender critical feminist injected in by this.
There's like the first case here they've got on their website, which just seems to be a bit generic, but is this woman suing a local leisure centre because they won't come down on what the civil rights argument for the Equality Act is? Is it for trannies or is it for women? Now, she's basically turning around to her local leisure centre and being like, damned if you do, you damned if you don't. You don't answer, I'm taking you to court. You answer either way, someone else will take you to court.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the legal strategy is to try and put these institutions in an impossible position to force a judgment from the government via the Equality Act. But that is fundamentally a mistake from what we would want.
Yes.
That is the opposite of what we want. This is directly empowering both the UK government and the Equality Act in bringing it into a kind of a fair, neutral position. Zone.
I mean, it answers the question. Who wins out here and who decides who wins?
Yeah.
And at the same time, we've got, we can go on to the next one, which is one that was going around for a good while. Is this the Sarah V. Fillmore woman that I think does some of the good cop stuff?
Stop tech censoring women. Help me sue Eventbrite.
Well, it seems that this one's now completed, so we can't read the description. But it doesn't matter, because all we need to know is that this woman...
Oh, no, we've got a spiked article here.
Written by her as well.
Yes.
This woman who set up an event on Eventbrite, where Eventbrite tells you, if you're advertising your event, don't make it political.
Yeah.
She advertised her event, very specifically put in it, gender critical, TERF, you know, all these different loaded terms.
Even...
And then Eventbrite came around and said, could you please remove those from your campaign? We'll allow you to advertise your event, but keep the politics stuff separate. And she went, no, you're silencing me.
So someone came in, deliberately broke a terms of service, which, by the way, even Just Stop Oil has to skirt. They have to make their advertisements very generic, or else they would get thrown off the site. That's very heavy rain. But, yeah, this, again, it's a nothing burger. It's them deliberately getting into a legal fight with a tech platform to accomplish
nothing. I can't
hear
you. I can't hear you over the rainfall at Checkpoint Charlie on the Dung River.
What will suing Eventbrite for you, and then losing, because you deliberately broke their terms of service, and would
what,
not
do you know
reword
what it does?
Something
it wastes tens of thousands of pounds of people who could otherwise supported different cases. I mean, here's another one that's just finished as well, and this is one I thought was a very interesting link. Here's this website with all this you know, pro-TERF stuff on it, and at the same time, here's something that the government would want as a campaign. You know, oh, well, of course it looks good if you're not wanting children near porn, and that's something everyone can obviously agree with, but does that necessitate then having biometric age verification for access to the internet? I'm not so sure. And we know for a fact that something like that has to be part of the digital ID sort of framework. So for that to be there beside all this TERF stuff, to me, is almost a sort of perfect example of how these two agendas are very closely fusing into one.
Yes. It also seems that they have relatively curated control over what goes on here.
Well, that's why the next, is it the next one we've got? Oh no, it's the Andrew Brigden one after that.
Yep. The day democracy died. Again, this is a big...
I don't even care for the content of this. I just think if you're involved in this case, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Because it just all smacks of like a weird Tory project to me. Then the next one we've got after that is their Asleep at the Wheel.
Here we go.
One, which is, this is again this idea that the civil service and... education institutions and this, that and the next thing were all these different departments that just were complacent and allowed all this stuff to just come in, you know, unawares and had no idea what was going on. But actually we know fair well all this time these people were welcomed in. But what makes it more interesting to me is that this Asleep at the Wheel sort of project comes directly from the Policy Exchange.
Yes. There's a lot of... It's not really raised much money yet, but this is an activist donation vertical from a think tank project by Policy Exchange, which is the biggest, I believe, think tank in Britain since it was resurrected.
Yeah, and I mean, if you scroll down here, there is a direct endorsement of this white paper by bloody Nadeem Zahawi, whatever his name is.
Yeah, here we go. Here's the... We found the Tory MPs always lurking behind all of this.
I mean, I would at some point like to go through that PDF more thoroughly, because I think there's probably a lot in there that's interesting. But
yeah.
Just as a simple point, we know all of this has a therapeutic lens to it, and we can very easily see why wouldn't they use the narrative of safeguarding to then transfer into online safety stuff, where now you're safeguarding harmful content.
I believe that will be part of it at some point. But yes, there's a... a lot of this has been coming down the pipeline because, like I said, woke is being put away with the help of the think tanks and the Tory MPs. All of them will give themselves a pass on the back, and most of all, will drown you out.
We're going to quickly skip over as well. I put it in the notes, and you're probably right to say we might not have enough time, because I do notice we've got a lot left here still. A guy called James S. will feature one of his tweets in a little bit, but he runs a different thing called Thoughtful Therapists, which was, of course, signal boosted by the Democracy 3.0 people, within which it seems to me like he's engaging in a PR campaign so that the agitation around this stuff doesn't result in child psychologists getting their heads cut off.
There's a lot of different people attempting to wash their hands and wash their profession's hands of what was done over the last 5 years.
Yes.
We mentioned the Online Safety Bill earlier because there have been some connections towards it. It's been mentioned, the Equality Act especially has been extolled, but the Online Safety Bill has been mentioned in the same breath as, you know, keeping women and girls safe. But there was a lot of coverage, and this all goes into the same circles a lot of the gender critical stuff does. If you look at any of these gender critical verticals, you look at any of them that are specifically not from people like Unheard or Spiked, you will see a lot of this stuff. You'll see a lot of the discussion of the Online Safety Bill. You'll see a lot of discussion of the government needing to ban pornography, but in a very kind of NIMBY, clueless way.
Yes.
You'll also see some of the almost like Keith Woodsian stuff of actually the Online Safety Bill is based guys and things like that. Trust Biden's our guy, trust the plan level stuff in some places
but,
too.
You're right though, because I was looking at the tweet thread about the Equality Act, which is currently debating today, and some women in Parliament made this point. I was like, well, the problem with the Online Safety Bill is it doesn't go far enough because it doesn't explicitly use the word women.
Yes. Well, again, the Online Safety Bill could leave women and girls behind. We absolutely cannot let that happen. The thing is, it does... I think they are trying to find a way to explicitly put the word woman in there, but this is a large part of the coverage. Again, the Daily Mail, supposedly a rattling outlet. I appear to have not opened one of my links here. Where is that? Cool. Big tech must let gender critics speak under online safety law. Again, this is a direct one of them, as we say, haggling with the boxcar door. Social media giants will be told to focus on rooting out racist abuse and trolling rather than debates on trans rights under a revamped online harms bill to be published tomorrow. So this is specifically saying that, don't worry, guys, you can be a TERF online. We're just going after, you know, the mean racists who don't like immigration very much. It's so blatant and so plain how it's being said here, how it's being fed to you when you actually look at it from the other direction, rather than going, oh, well, the Online Safety Bill is bad, but they're taking some of the bad out of it. It's like, no, the Online Safety Bill is aimed surgically to miss the effective Overton window. Yes. It is surgically designed to miss the issues that are the neutral point of the day, as we'll get into in our next stream.
Something I want to mention as well here, and I do this to name no names and call no people out, but I see no one out there connecting the dots with any of this stuff, and you still spend day in, day out, and sometimes signal-boosting these people.
You constantly.
Know, engaging with their stuff online, and sometimes even having them on their own platforms.
Again, I don't understand why this stuff is not cut away like a cancer.
Yeah.
Because there is not only connections to the establishment, it's just old-fashioned feminism. Like, second-wave, terrible bra-burning feminism. That's all this is. Why aren't you letting these activists kill each
that's
other?
That's the thing, though. It's not just bra-burning feminism. But
no.
Because behind the bra-burning feminist distraction is all the technocrats who are playing both sides of the
It leads you on your edgy, dissident right-wing platform to boost people and steer people in the direction of those who would tell you to you know, back up the Equality Act, to make the Equality Act great again, basically.
Oh, no. You're going to be you do realize, like Dan Harwood and all these kind of people will actually be posting that.
Ah, dear. A huge pillar of this project is the reframing of the Equality Act as neutral and even conservative as a piece of legislation that is vital to holding back the gender insanity with government definitions, lest we fall into madness.
Otherwise, we might lose our marbles, they
Yeah.
say.
Well, the whole thing when we talked to, Cat, when we talked to Philosopher Cat, was
Yes.
the fact that governments don't define what women are. They
No.
are something that is apart from all of that. They are not a simple legal or biological category. And to reduce them to that is to surrender to modernity. The Equality Act does that and then some.
Oh, and they want it to be even more strict. They want it to be even more sort of materialist and written almost in law as if it were scripture.
There's also the very, very obvious point that I hope people, realize that if the government can define what a woman is, it can redefine what a woman is at a whim.
Yes,
And
of
it
course.
means that there is a legal government definition that supersedes what we would consider the wider kind of societal concept or the older concept of what a woman is. They've done this with so many different things that were not legislated for. And
Yes.
that's how law balloons, identifying everything. Again, there's. But this is what they're saying. Don't bow down to trans lobby over women's rights. MPs to urge ministers ahead of longer wait departments to debate inequality laws being rewritten on the basis of biology rather than gender identity. This is posited as the conservative position. And again, that is the power here. This is what is being spoken for you. And a lot of people who do not understand the implications of what the Equality Act is, what the Equality Act does and how it is the biggest stick used to beat the political right in Britain will simply nod along with this. Especially when someone like Open Democracy is really trying to play the heel here.
Yes.
They're really reaching with this one. This is deliberately them being unpleasant. The EHRC, which is basically just a council in the UK that tells us how we interpret the Human Rights Act.
Yes.
Wants to redefine sex. Here's what it means for trans people. Opinion. Proposal to rewrite the Equality Act is part of the right's ideological war on trans people's right to exist. And that's not I aimed at discrediting it, that is actually aimed at bolstering it. You
Yes.
must understand that these people are deliberately hysterical and are made to look ridiculous on purpose because it's meant to bolster what the correct position is. This is classic. Classic heel behavior in a political sense. This is music to the ears of people who believe all the spiked articles and believe all the spectator articles
They're
and
saying
believe,
exactly what they said would happen.
and wow, the leftists sure hate those TERFs. That must mean that they're based. It's the again, the oldest trick in the book. It's just a waffling article about the fact that, this can't happen, you can't do this to us, but it's also a sign that this has been in the pipeline. Quite a while. The letter was written, I believe, late last year and was only published early this year. But it was Kemi Blaylock, who's like the Minister
Oh, it's
for
a bit
Women,
Kemi Badenoch.
whatever her name is,
Yeah.
which has led to today's debate, with a lot of hoo-ha about it. I actually saw that Equality Act was trending earlier, even though my current account is suspended. But today's parliamentary debate on the definition of sex under the Equality Act will provide important clarity as to whether many of our politicians and political parties actually care about women's rights, free speech, and child welfare. So, again, a lot of political heavy lifting done here. I don't know who this James S's guy is. I think he's just some thoughtful therapist. Is that the same guy?
Yes, this is why I connected all this
All
stuff
right.
because all of a sudden he's on Talk TV, he's on LBC, he's on GB News, Elon Musk is quote tweeting him, just like that, just in the space of a week or two.
He's
Never heard of the guy before.
another one of these kind of anti-woke professional victims who has a single belief in a single area that would have been completely uncontroversial 5 years ago. And he's being elevated as an ideological hero against the insanity of the left. But the bundling of women's rights, free speech, and child welfare should tell you what is attempting to be done. That all of these issues are taped together, that if you are quote-unquote anti-trans and anti-woke, you are in some ways now pro sensible feminism. And that is the trick. And then we'll keep pointing the trick out because it's obvious, but a lot of people don't seem to spot it, and there isn't much discussion about it.
Well, this is the thing. Who's going There's around other than us at this exact moment making the point about this? I mean, at best, what you get is there's a sort of certain subset of people who will sort of dismiss this. But no one seems to want to connect that all of this is all moving as one kind of big thing. And there very much is an agenda behind it that is aimed at things that we do not want.
Yes.
I don't know, it's not to sit there repeatedly going, why is no one talking about this? But it genuinely, it's... I would like to think that normally we're at least able to bring a few people in, and maybe anyone else other than AA, I've never really seen any sort of treatment of this in this way.
Again, quite a popular Twitter account called Sex Matters. The definition of sex. Make the Equality Act clear. Please, Equality Act harder. The Equality Act will save us.
Spikes Andrew Doyle, of course.
It spikes Andrew Doyle, yes.
Who's he got on there? Who are these? H. Joyce Gender. What's...
That is...
Helen Joyce. Is that not the one that ends up on Lotus Eaters? I can't remember.
Andrew Doyle, again, Heather B., whoever that is, and the Women's Rights Network, which basically it's GB News.
That's a right-wing think tank these days, don't you know?
Yes. With the suffragette colours. But it's the final victory of the... actually, the suffragettes were conservatives, guys. And it's just, once again, GB News putting forward far-left 70s talking points.
But as you said, this is basically like what would have been a Mumsnet forum conversation.
Yeah.
Now astroturfed as a nation-gripping media and political, I would say farce, but obviously... The idea is to have it be a much bigger thing than that.
Well, it's the culmination of 5 years of fever pitch. What is a... Define a woman. What is a woman? They've become so dependent on this kind of platform of political dialectic that they are, one, unable to get out of it now that it's kind of falling down, and two, they are trying to squeeze every last drop out of it while they still have it.
Well, see, what if large aspects of the left wing decided to drop the trans thing tomorrow?
Yeah.
And pick up the next issue? You know, what do all these people who have spent all this time and energy combating this then do? What does Matt Walsh go on to do after this, now that he's spent all this time doing What Is a Woman documentary?
That's the whole point we make, that when all of this is cycled out, as it is doing, what you will be left with is a coalition of people that effectively have nothing in common and will collapse.
Yes.
Like what was done to the 70s feminists. The women's movement, in quotes, in the UK, without government backing, completely fell apart because of its innate ideological differences within it. The only thing that really united them was their hate of men. And once we get into the 80s and a lot of the quote-unquote equality issues have been put away in a cultural sense, all of that kind of falls by the wayside. There was a massive fallow period in the 1980s for the feminist movement, or at least in a cultural sense. And that's a very good example of the fact that this stuff can just be put away. It has been put away before, very successfully. And it can be picked back up on. But here we get Women's Place UK. Thank you, Sex Matters Org, for successfully tabling today's Westminster debate and clarifying sex to mean biological sex in the Equality Act. And there'll be a lot of people who consider themselves conservatives who've retweeted this or have engaged with people who have been amplifying this message. They'll be talking about Sex Matters, you know, Sex Matters on GB News, the supposedly premier right-wing news outlet. And Here's Women's Place UK's explanation of why they care so much about gender issues. Why do we keep banging on about the importance of single-sex spaces for women who have been subjected to men's violence?
Asterix.
Most violence is committed by men. Males commit 78% of violence. Males commit 88% of intimate partner homicides. Males commit 90% of all murders in England and Wales. Males commit 98% of recorded sexual
offences. Maybe we just keep all the women at home.
Well, the whole point is that They would be very willing to discuss the fact that these people are men, but once you mention to them what colour these men are,
yes,
they immediately begin to shriek at you. And that is the crux of why this unholy marriage is not only untenable, it is completely suicidal. Well,
of
this
course, these are the same people who would campaign for migrant and refugee rights as part of women's rights.
The problem is, as Reaction Reading Law has been saying in the chat, that anyone, you can't get affirmative action when everyone's there then.
No.
You can't actually play off the two groups against each other when there are no more groups. That's what you said. That's why they won't dispense with the Conservatives and why they won't dispense with the identities that they've performers have been attacking, because it's so powerful and so, lucrative for them.
Well, it's easy. You just apply these different sort of value-laden labels to all these things, and then you don't have to engage in any form of explanation or describing complex political conflicts. You just see those people are bad. They're X, they're Y, they're Z. It's one of the most simple parts of rhetoric, really, at the end of the day.
Well, here's Maya Forrest, who has her header as Make the Equality Act Clear.
I don't know if you've noticed her. There's the other woman that does the, like, Equality Matters one, which is very similar, and both of them seem to be like Rachel Dolezal style, like, white woman that can maybe ever so slightly pass as black, so it's very strange. But that's a completely different aside issue, though.
Well, again, here's somebody who's extolled as some form of almost conservative hero. I've seen Maya Forrester mentioned multiple times in all of these outlets as this effectively stunning and brave figure. On sex, gender, and the law, the debate tomorrow is about whether the government should clarify the law to make clear that having a gender recognition certificate does not change someone from male to female and vice versa for the purposes of the law on sex discrimination. The problem with that sentence is that it also implies that the government is the arbiter of who is a man and a woman, which really you're asking for them to be here. it's a self-defeating argument because the Equality Act just does that.
Excuse me, ma'am. I am the government sex discrimination czar. Please show me your bob and vagine to prove to me that you are what you say you are.
Oh dear, the pajits are evolving.
Exactly. I mean, this is like the one they had in the American stuff that almost to me seemed like a piss take.
Yeah.
When they were like, well, of course, the policy now to make sure that students that are entering the changing rooms at school is to check them at age 13 and 14 and have an adult see them naked to make sure they're not trans. It's like, well, come on. That's got to be a joke. And that's, as you're saying, that's what she's asking for here. Meanwhile, get the George Bush mission accomplished banners out.
Once again, the gender critical movement is going around high-fiving itself about the fact that the NHS have apparently bans puberty blockers for children outside of clinical research. And here's your daily, like, massive black pill, honestly. Like, here's the thing that a lot of people, well, I don't think anybody really has discussed about this supposed victory in rooting out the giving of puberty blockers to children.
It has nothing to do with law.
This was never an approved practice. It was never unbanned. They have not done anything. I'll tell you what, I'll explain it to you.
Do you know what I find a tad interesting? Just think about the language here for a moment. I know we've got the Elon Musk him quote tweet.
Oh, I've got the report here.
But think of the language here. The NHS have banned.
Yes.
Who is the NHS? It can't be all the people in the organisation, because that would take too long to decide. It can't just be one person. So maybe what we expect, a room full of 10, 15 people, British Medical Journal, those people who really decide what policy is. So it actually turns out, all this time, there's been no actual internal resistance with the NHS, within the NHS, to stop you banning this, in theory. And then the NHS just turns around and bans it. It's like, well, what stopped those 10, 15 people from doing this before?
What's happened is there was something called the CAS Review, which is an independent review of gender identity services for children and young people. Basically, the NHS set up a working group called the CAS Review, which has issued a preliminary report on the provision of gender care for under 18s. It doesn't talk about the fact that there shouldn't be in most cases, the quote unquote gender care fund under 18s. And then again, there's been a lot of celebrating about the end, quote unquote, end of affirmative care and all of this, and the end of the
Tavistock shut down.
All the stuff about that. We don't have it to hand. We don't really have time for it today about all the Tavistock stuff and the links with Mermaid and the fact that they just completely run rampant. And effectively, the NHS did have an activist-led, NGO-controlled medical experiment project that they were using to very, very loudly and very publicly begin like transitioning children. A completely rogue, by the way. This could have been shut down at any point. In
That's what I
fact,
mean. That's what I mean when he's like, the NHS has decided, it's like, well, so those 10, 15 people could have at any point put their hand up and said, no, that's enough of this. But they waited till now to do it. It's like, I see. Meanwhile, of course, you've got
I mean,
Elon
you're saying
Musk quote
the
tweeting
whole
over the same
transitioning
bloody
of
story and
kids
everything.
was solely down to the decision of individual doctors who acted on their own will. Again, see, they were waiting for more detail on the specifics. This has been a clinical area in which there isn't any precedent. So, therefore, all of the prescribing of puberty blockers to under 18s was by definition off-label and experimental,
Well, it's.
because there is no clinical trial data and there is no approval by anybody like the equivalent that we have of the FDA or the drug regulator from the NHS. None of this ever went through the proper channels.
What I was going to say.
Therefore, it can't be banned because it was never approved.
What I was going to say, we can look at it as if it's extra legal.
Yes.
You know, it exists, this whole project exists above and beyond medical standards, and they've known that's how it's worked the whole time. And I don't know if we want to get further into this or
We
not with
do,
some of the,
yes. That's why I
but
wanted to make sure there was time.
no, that's fair enough.
Let me just read you the summary here because you'll start to get the idea very quickly. The cash review was submitted as an interim report at NHS England, which sets out our work to date. This has been learned so far and our approach going forward. The report does not set out final recommendations at this stage. At present, there is a single specialist service providing gender identity services for children and young people, the Gender Identity Development Service, GIDS, at the Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust, which has effectively been shut down as a circus. In recent years, GIDS has experienced a significant increase in referrals, which has contributed to long waiting times and growing concern about how the NHS should most appropriately assess, diagnose, and care for this population of children and young people. Are you starting to get the idea yet? The rapid increase in the number of children requiring support and complex care mix means that the current clinical model with a single national provider is not sustainable in the long term. We need to know more about the population being referred and outcomes. There has not been a routine and consistent data collection, which means this is not possible to accurately track the outcomes and pathways that children and young people take through the
Yeah,
service.
look at the
There is a
la
lack of consensus and open discussion about the nature of gender dysphoria and therefore the appropriate clinical response. Because the specialist services evolve so rapidly and organically in response to demand, the clinical approach and overall service design has not been subjected to some of the normal quality controls that are typically applied when new or innovative treatments are introduced. Key points and recommendations moving forward. Children and young people with a gender incongruence or dysphoria must receive the same standards of clinical care, assessment, and treatment as every other child or young person accessing healthcare. The care of this group of children and young people is everyone's business. Our initial work indicates that clinicians at all levels feel they have the transferable skills and commitment to support these children and young people, but there needs to be agreement and guidance about the appropriate clinical assessment process that should take place at primary, secondary, and tertiary level, underpinned by better data and evidence. Addressing the challenges will require service transformations with support offered at different levels of the health service. The review's research program will not just build evidence base in the UK, but will also contribute to the global evidence base, meaning that young people, their families, carers, and the clinicians supporting them can make more informed decisions about the right path for them. Does that sound like an excoriation of the gender movement by a ban?
It doesn't even sound like they're stopping. What they're actually saying is, let's shut down Tavistock and move this thing nationwide. Let's have provisions for this, not just in like GICs or GIDS or whatever they want to call it. Let's have provisions for this everywhere.
Well, there's only been really kind of one test for the legality in quotes of the
Is this the Gillick Compens one that we talked about in Buddy Rose's stream ages ago?
Yes, it
Was, isn't it?
is. This is the whole point that the only legal objection that was brought against the use of blockers in children wasn't like a medical malpractice tribunal. It was a born loser case, I would say, about the competency of under 16s to consent to medical care in the abstract. The reason this case didn't work, and the reason that Court of Appeal overturned it, is because the implications for wider kind of child care within the NHS would have been a complete legal headache. This was the wrong approach to take because it's not a treatment argument, it's a blanket legal competency argument. And here's, to cap it off, here's how Pink News is reporting it. NHS to stop prescribing puberty blockers for children struggling with their gender identity. NHS England is said it is rescinding routine puberty blocker prescription, which it never
Because it was
authorized.
never routine.
Yeah, after arguing that more evidence is needed about potential benefits and harms.
So more research needs to be done, which means they're going to carry on the tests that they were doing before anyway.
Stating it would only allow under 18s to receive puberty blockers in exceptional circumstances, so there is a get out clause here, or under a study looking into their
Wait,
effects.
under the new rules, go back for a second there.
Yeah.
Under the new rules, which the NHS described as an interim policy, the medication would only be accessible after further research outlines the impact they have on. So they have to use it to decide whether or not they're going to use it.
And again, they're
It's
talking
just
about.
they're just saying that.
Regional model for gender care announced for children and young people. This is the GIDS, this is Gender Identity Development Service. They talk about the fact that they're closing Tavistock, but opening up basically four different child gender clinics attached to hospitals. And you're right, what's been done here is that Tavistock has been shut down. The sex hormones have been banned. But what's really happened is that gender care for young people has expanded. It has not contracted. As I basically just wrote here, again, the only legal test for the prescription practice was a competency to consent case, which was designed to be lost as it would potentially affect all clinical care for under 18s. The judgment was not about blockers themselves, but about medical consent. What is being pointed at as a lack of clinical evidence and the so what is being pointed at is a lack of clinical evidence and the few trans children already in the system will, by definition of this decision, be part of a medical research trial. Puberty blockers for children will continue under the added protection of clinical research and gender services. Sorry, and gender services for children will expand beyond Tavistock. This is not being ended.
Well, it's very much almost the crux of what we've said about so much of this stuff, which is the practice, the process, the things we do in day-to-day life, whether it's woke or anti-woke, will not change. All that will change is the aesthetics of the AstroTurf operations that happen around us.
Very dramatic, very
Yes.
dramatic thunder in the background there. But as kind of a discussion point of view, it's an amazing kind of hat tip about how the putting the woke away stuff really will work.
I'm glad we managed to get through that for
Well,
an hour and 15 there. I think.
we're saying say this is all being transformed into a neutral evidence-based policy. All whilst 1970s style radical feminism is folded into the fabric of the right and credited with these fake conservative victories. Like I said, it's all just expanding. Like the whole gender specific care for trans kids stuff is getting bigger. It's not getting smaller. They're making it nationwide. They're actually doing clinical trials now. They're not just going rogue and doing it off their own back like Tavistock did, because they did just completely go rogue. And when no one's going to go to prison because of it, that should really be the kicker right there, is that by the rules of the NHS and by the rules of British medicine in general, supposedly what they did was likely highly illegal, which is what people have been pointing out. But instead of going to prison, they're going to be given big research grants. They're going to be told to study this, and guess what they'll find? They'll find that in the majority of cases, gender affirming care for young people is a positive thing. And then everyone would go, oh, well, as long as there's been the medical safeguards, as long as we've depoliticized it, it's an amazing act of depoliticization. Mm. They have effectively drawn a line under the Tavistock era of open child abuse and have turned open child abuse into a neutral process. It's evil, but it is also very politically impressive.
Yeah, I have basically nothing else to add to this, other than I want to suggest anyone that sees people from our sphere, our friends, talking about this in a manner that leads them down or opens up the opportunity for this sort of thing to be inserted behind them, warn them.
Yeah.
It means posting this, or it means posting some synopsis of what we've said here. Please make it clear to the people that you have around you that this issue is a waste of time, and that woke will go away, and when woke goes away, almost nothing will change.
Yep, we'll be talking on Wednesday about anti-woke and a post-woke world, more of a specific wider discussion about this effect in the abstract. Thank you for everyone for coming. Thank you for absorbing our many nourishing black pills here, but I think this one's very necessary. Do go check out the Substack. Remember, we're active over there. Do help us out with our costs if you can. Memberships are one of the better recurring ways, but like I said, the best way really is to support us through Substack or through PayPal. I hope there's nothing we've really missed out. I think we've been quite comprehensive.
It's been a bit of a sort of slightly quicker, rambly one, but a lot of these things are givens, and as we continue to do, we like setting up different elements so we can get to the point we are here, where we can be like, well, look at these four different things and how they're all connected, and why the one central issue around them is astroturfed.
Well, we went to this as kind of a worked example of a single issue, how ubiquitous it's come, and how really they can set the conversation just by immersing the news cycle in an issue. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not, the staple, like 2013 GTA's making people rape women feminists, into like effectively the post-Gamergate right, which is what's going on when you see like a feminist on the Lotus Eaters. It is bizarre to witness this fusion, but is what's happened. You end up with, you know, people like Julie Bindle on GB News. It's bizarre from somebody who understands what these people actually believe, but in the moment, as the ally of convenience, we managed to get through all of this by saying the enemy of our enemy is not necessarily your friend, because that's such a truism. But that's really what this is. So once again, Gibbs for you. Thank you, Strew, for the £2. That was a nice, fun sentence to say.
I believe we're now going to go run outside in the rain and the thunderstorm.
Yeah, we're going to have
waiting for the suburb. So we'll have apocalypse now, kick the day.
Anyway, guys, thank you guys for watching, and do have a good night. Say good night.
Good night.